Let's talk about the Lions from the lionswire.com. Also, the Detroit Lions podcast. One of the co-hosts, Jeff Risden. He is standing by here on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Huge. I know. I was just looking on Twitter, and I saw that somebody mapped out a way that the Lions can still mathematically make the playoffs, and I'm wondering just how much beer had to be drunk to find that out.
Can you be arrested for a tweet like that? Is that misinformation? Does that get a little Twitter corporate flag on it?
One of those little false information here?
Oh, yeah.
I guess technically it's mathematically possible, but it ain't happening.
You know what is sad, though? When you do look at this season, and again, I never said playoffs. I never talked playoffs during the offseason. I really thought with the added game that this team could be somewhere between 6 and 9 wins. You're going to get a team, I believe, in the NFC that could finish 8 and 9 that's going to make the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, Washington holds the last playoff spot. That's not a good football team. They're 5 and 6. Minnesota comes in at 5 and 6. The Bears, the Giants are still very much alive. It's crazy in the NFC. There, in fact, could be two teams at the bottom of that NFC playoffs with the way that, that New Orleans has folded up that are in at 8 and 9, 9 and 8. It's crazy. The AFC's worse, by the way.
I know it's crazy. You know, and that's why when I look at the Lions and how much better the defense has played from a year ago, if you would have told me before this season began, or all offseason, that this Lions offense would be that bad and that defense would have put them in a position literally to be a 5 and 6, 6 and 5 team right now, I would have said, hey, with the offense and that defense plays that well for the most part outside of a few dog games, I'd be happy. This team should be where I thought they would be at this point in the season, you know, 4 and 7, 5 and 6. They really should.
Yeah, and that's very realistic the way that they've played. You know, they have lost 3 games on the very last play of the game. That's unfortunate, and for the most part, they have only themselves to blame. I will say that in the Baltimore loss, that one's on the officials for not calling the delay of game. But, you know, they just haven't ever put it together, both offensively and defensively, for 4 quarters at the same time. And some of that is coaching. Some of that is the lack of talent that they have, really, on both sides of the ball. They don't have a lot of impact players. And it's tough to win in the NFL that way. I do think that the fact that they have improved on the defense and the way that they're doing it is, ironically, the way that Matt Patricia tried and failed. They don't rush the passer well. They're just really good at coverage and mixing things up and confusing the opposing quarterback. They stop the run well. They're doing all the things that Matt Patricia wanted but could never do, and now they're doing them, and then the rest of the team has gone to hell in a handbasket. And that's, you know, that's how 0-10-1 happens.
Why are they so bad offensively right now, Jeff? If we go back to August and you would have been Jeff Risden, the magnificent, and you could have told Dan Campbell, this is where you would be right now after 11 games, 0-10-1. But if we do this, it could be different. What could have Dan Campbell and his assistants or Holmes done?
You know, they should have gotten one more wide receiver, a legit veteran. Obviously, they tried with Williams and they tried with Perriman. It didn't work. They could have gotten Josh Reynolds earlier. I think that probably would have helped. They could have been more active in getting a guy like Brandon Cooks was available at some point. You know, just somebody who can reliably move the chains and give you some size. Like, Khalif Raymond's a really good deep threat. He's tiny. You're not going to find Jared Goff. That's not the kind of guy that he's going to be looking for when he tries to throw down the field. He needs big targets that he can see. So I think underestimating the timidity with which Jared Goff would attack, I think that probably having known that could go back would go back and get and do more to address the wide receiver situation, whether it would have been bringing back a guy like Danny Amendola. And look, they didn't want to spend money on veterans, period, because they want to carry as much cap rollover as they can into next year so they can go get free agents this offseason, guys who make an impact. And that's a great theory, but the end product this year has been it proves that you can't just neglect the positions as much as they did there. And you know, tight end, I think finding that Darren Fells didn't want to be part of a losing situation again was a shock to them. They haven't really done a lot to replace that. You know, the other thing I would say is that they probably should have taken a better quarterback, backup quarterback, than Tim Boyle. Somebody who could come in. Look, they swung and missed on that big time. That's all Brad Holmes. That was his deal. There were other guys that were out there. You look and you see around the league. Like we talked about Washington. Taylor Heinicke is a capable starting quarterback. It's not a guy that I would want running my team. But when Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out for the season, basically, he's come in. He's got them in playoff contention. Why? Because he can make plays on his own. He understands how to use the weapons that he's got. And that's not something that Tim Boyle has done. And that's something that Heinicke showed when he was in Carolina. You know, there was something there. And I think that neglecting the backup quarterback position or trusting it in Tim Boyle, the guy who'd never played before, was probably a mistake. And, you know, maybe they were looking long-term and hoping to get the guy who could be the guy after Goff with him. It was pretty clear from the first practice of training camp where I was at, he wasn't it. So I would have liked to have seen them go back and get somebody different, somebody better at backup quarterback.
His name is Jeff Risden, TheLionsWire.com, also co-host of the Detroit Lions podcast you can listen to on YouTube. So where's this season going? I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see a win. I know it's the NFL, any given Sunday. They get the Vikings this weekend in Detroit. Where do you see the best chances for the Lions to post a win, or may I say multiple wins?
That's a little bit of crazy talk. But, you know, weird things do happen this year. Somehow Houston has 2 wins this year. Somehow the Jets have 3 wins this year. It's crazy how it happens, and it's crazy that the Lions haven't won one yet. Look, Atlanta cannot stop people, and they don't rush the passer well. And in their last 3 games, their offense has been abysmal. That's a team that this Lions team, as it is right now, can outscore. The same is true of Denver's iffy, because there are games where Denver looks like a playoff team and there are games where they look like a doormat. You know, so that's a tough one. The one that I've got circled now is at Seattle. The Seahawks are not tanking. They have just gone into the tank. You watch that team. If you watch them Monday night, you've watched that team for the last couple of weeks. The body language around that team, the impression that they have between Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, just attacking the gum with a fervor unknown to mankind. Their defense is rotten. They are below the Lions in every single defensive metric. Seattle is. That team's going nowhere. That's probably the best chance that they have to win. And expecting the Lions to go into Seattle and win that late in the season, when Russell Wilson will theoretically anyways be healthier with his finger, if that's your best bet, that's not an easy bet.
So what's going to happen against Cousins and the Vikings? I see the Vikings with a 7-10, 14-point victory. I agree with what you said all season, that it looks like the best chance to win a game would be at Atlanta, but Atlanta, surprisingly, is playing decent football. They're still playing for a playoff spot, believe it or not.
They are. In fact, they went in the last weekend holding that last playoff.
I know.
It's, Philadelphia's right in there too, which is, it's crazy to me. And the Lions have not played teams like that well this year. Those teams that are hovering around the bottom of the playoff positioning, you know, Philadelphia is an example. Baltimore in the AFC, until they picked it up recently, are an example. Cincinnati, the same boat. It's going to be tough for them to pull this one out. Look, Minnesota, they do well what the Lions don't do well. They have multiple people they can attack with through the air. Kirk Cousins, for all the crap he takes, is a pretty darn good passer. Might not be the greatest quarterback, but when you ask a guy to throw the ball to a receiver, he's going to get it there. And with Jefferson and Thielen and KJ Osborne and the way that they throw to their backs out of the backfield, look, the Lions' deep pass defense, and specifically the corners, are playing well above their pay grade. There's no question about that. But they haven't played a team like this that can throw the ball to a lot of different and talented people since they played Cincinnati. And we saw how that went. This one, they're going to be able to get some points, I think, on Minnesota. But, you know, scoring more than what they give up on defense. I know the defense has been playing well, but that's asking a whole lot of this offense. So I think Minnesota's going to be, you know, like big 30-21, something like that is where it's going to be. You know, the Lions are going to surge forward and finally break the 16-point barrier on offense. But they're going to give up more than they have in a few weeks on defense, just because this Minnesota offense, they're really good, and they understand their system. They understand what they do well. Not a lot of teams do that. If you watch Pittsburgh, that's a team that has no clue what they're doing offensively. They don't understand that their quarterback can't throw deep, and they still ask him to make deep, hard, difficult throws. They don't have the pass protection for it either. That's one of the reasons why the Lions tied them. Minnesota doesn't have that problem. They have an identity, and they stick to it, and that's going to be tough for the Lions to beat.
Jeff Risden from thelionswire.com, part of the USA Today Network, also one of the co-hosts on the Detroit Lions podcast. You can find on YouTube, joining us on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, NFL Power Hour. Any chance that Dan Campbell just gives up calling the plays? He's been brutal at it. He looks lost. I think it's really hurting his karma with the Lions Nation. Some are still holding on, but if he continues to call plays and they finish 0-16-1, I don't know how he gets over that.
He will probably keep calling them throughout this season, but I think he had a little bit of a talk about it in his press conference yesterday, where he has realized that he's got to do a better job. But he talked about running on 3rd and 32. He talked about some of the other decisions he's made, where maybe he just has too much to make those sorts of decisions in real time on the field. So I think the realization there is nice. It would be nicer if he acted upon it, maybe let Anthony Lynn get back to calling it. But I think that relationship is done. We talked about it earlier this week. I do think you're going to see a new offensive coordinator come in next year, and that offensive coordinator will have a lot of power to create the scheme and call his own plays. I think Campbell has realized the error of his ways there. Doesn't help us much this year, but going forward, that's one way where he can point and say, hey, you know what? I screwed this up. We've got to get better at it, and I can't do it if I'm going to be an effective head coach. And I appreciate that realization. I'm sad that it came this late in the season. It should have been more obvious to him earlier. But, you know, I'd like to say better late than never, but it might not be this year.
No, you know what it should be? He should let Anthony Lynn finish out the season. You're an 0-10-1 team. Let the guy you're paying to be your offensive coordinator call the plays. If he has to come down and stand next to you, so be it. That's the move that needs to be made, not the after the fact, I need to get better, or it's going to be trial by fire the rest of the season because this entire 2021 schedule is lost. They're going to be 0-16-1. If Campbell, as a leader, said, you know what, I'm giving Anthony Lynn the play calling back. He talks to them every day. He can communicate with them on what he wants. If they disagree, he's still the head coach. That's the move that should be made right now.
It is. And if it's not made, and I don't think they're going to, I wonder why Anthony Lynn is still there. What's the purpose of having him there?
Thank you.
That's something that, you know, that's another one where I don't think that Dan Campbell understood.
He doesn't
all
know what
the
he's
responsibilities
doing.
Of coaching to go with that. That's something that he's learning the hard way.
Yeah, and now what? I'm really tired. I think we talked about this last week. I'm tired of the after the fact. Yeah, I should have been better. I should have been. Man, that just smells of Patricia. And I get they're playing hard. I understand that. But you tell me as a Lions fan, if they're 0-16-1 and they're 4-12-1 next year, but they're still playing hard, are you going to be buying it? It's crazy. The only good thing is, in our final conversation, or part of our conversation here, is that they're going to get the overall number one pick. There is a defensive playmaker sitting there, whether it's Thibodeau from Oregon or Aiden Hutchinson from the Lions right now, based on what their college team is doing. Who do you think is a better immediate impact player to get after the quarterback with the Lions, Hutchinson from Michigan or Thibodeau from Oregon?
I think it's Hutchinson, and I'll give you two reasons. Number one, he's going to test off the charts athletically. He's going to test better than any Watt brother or any Bosa brother did in the combine. The second thing is he's produced at a higher level against significantly better competition than what Thibodeau has faced when he's at Oregon. The Pac-12, we talked about this with Penei Sewell. not a very strong conference in terms of pass rushing or pass blocking. And that's going to be the case with Thibodeau. He's going to come in. He just hasn't played a lot of guys that have are going to be in the NFL. Hutchinson's, look, he embarrassed a first-rounder last week. He's going up against some pretty darn good blockers in this conference and in their non-conference schedule, too. That's a big feather in his cap. So I would say that immediate impact, it's got to be Hutchinson. And really, there isn't a wrong answer there, because you're looking at, you know, Hutchinson being, you know, somewhere between T.J. Watt and Nick Bosa. And you're looking at Thibodeau, and he's kind of like, I don't know, somewhere between like a the name that comes up a lot is Robert Mathis. I don't think he's that quick, but that's a guy that bagged a lot of sacks over time. The other guy that he's like is Von Miller. We saw what Von Miller could do in his prime. If you can give me one of those guys, I would prefer Hutchinson. I'm okay with either one, because they've got to get impact talent on the defensive side of the ball. Their secondary, once they get, they need a safety as well. But the front seven, outside of having a dynamic pass rusher, is in pretty good shape. It really is. I know fans hate the linebackers reflexively. There's a lot worse linebackers playing on a lot better defenses right now than what this Lions team is. They're fine for what this defense needs them to do. They've got to get the impact pass rusher, and they need a guy at the back end who can punish receivers from going over the middle and punish running backs who get out in space. Tracy Walker's pretty good at it. He had a rotten week last week. I do think they're going to re-sign him, but they got to get somebody to run with him, because Will Harris, he ain't it. Dean Marlowe, he sure ain't it.
Jeff Risden, you can follow the Lions 24/7. Lionswire.com, also RISDON, Jeff Risden on Twitter, and on YouTube, search for the Detroit Lions podcast. Jeff, good stuff. We'll talk next week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.